Hi, this is Michael Bozzi. Welcome to Marketing Without the Marketing. Really appreciate you being here. And we're in the middle of a series, which is about whether or not a book should be a part of your content strategy. And today I'd like to talk about how you actually get started on your book project. If you've decided, yes, this is a good part of my strategy, I'm going to do it, well, great. Then let's talk about how you actually get started on a project of this scope and size. Let's get really practical about it. What exactly do you have to do? Now, if you're like me, you're constantly writing. You've got notebooks filled with ideas, rough drafts, and, you know, in effect, you've started your book before you've really begun in some ways, right? I mean, not all of that writing that you've been doing is going to be useful, but you do kind of want to make use of the stuff that you have, right? So that means the first thing that you got to do is to actually make the time to do a content audit. This is a full review of the content that you already have. Some of this is going to be in finished form. Maybe you've actually published some of this stuff on a blog, but some of this stuff's going to be in, you know, in really rough draft form, whether that's in large chunks or even just little scraps. But doing an audit is going to help you draw some of those connections, you know, find out what you have, take stock of it, assess it, identify holes in your content, right? All these things that you're going to need to do to sort of figure out where you are, where you stand. All right, so let's go through this exercise. When you're evaluating your writing, what's going to be useful? What should you just cast aside? What can you do to organize it? I'm always going to make the assumption with any of these little pieces that everything's going to need a really heavy edit on the outside. I think of this stuff as first draft or even pre-first draft. So going from sort of blog as first draft to book format, you know, unless you, I mean, you've got to make that worthwhile for the reader. It's got to be well organized and well presented. A blog is a series of short posts, and it can be organized via tagging, categories, etc. But really, it's still, I mean, it's still a content stream. It's not a great publishing platform. It tends to be, as much as you can try to make it not, it still tends to be sort of ephemeral. And, you know, it's not going to serve the same purpose as something that's highly organized and well presented and structured and sequenced. So start with that assumption that all these little pieces, you know, you're going to assemble them, you're going to put them together, but, you know, they're really going to need a deep and heavy edit by the time that you're done with it. All right, so let's talk about content function, right? Producing a book is different than producing a blog. The reader is actually going to expect more of you, you know, that you're going to do the work, go through the process, and present this and organize it into a cohesive structure. And if we're talking about nonfiction here, remember, as we discussed in a prior episode, you know, the reader is going to take one of two paths. They're either going to read the content or raid the content. If they read it, they're going to go sort of in sequence, as you intended, fine. If they raid the content, their goal is to get in, get out, get some information, and really use your work as a reference. Now, you don't have control over this, but I find that the best writers of nonfiction really recognize this and set up the product so that it functions in either way. This really, I mean, if you think about it, this greatly informs the way that you present the material, right? Thinking about it at a macro level, organizing it so that it sort of can accommodate both ways. That means you're going to want to make each topic as orthogonal as you can so that each one is sort of if you think about it this way, sort of a discrete topic. And not all content is going to be able to do that. Sometimes it's going to have to build upon one another. Sometimes you can't have these things be discrete. And if that's the case, that's fine. But trying to make an attempt at it can be a really good thing for your reader. And sort of acknowledging the way that they're going to use the content is really valuable, right? It's for them. It's not for you. It's for them. So setting it up in the way that's comfortable for them to use it in the way they want to do that is it's really useful. All right, so let's think about book structure. The structure of the book is incredibly important. As I mentioned in the last episode, it's really something that, I mean, that organization of the book is value in and of itself. So that means you're going to want to start with at least a rough draft of a table of contents. I mean, you don't need to commit to it, but at least you want a structure that you, so that you can start to arrange this. And honestly, this part of the process can take the longest because this is where the thought process really comes into play, where you really have to think about how do I sequence this. You could start writing on any topic or any particular topic, and that sometimes it's a lot easier than the really difficult work of trying to figure out how to sequence it and how to teach this to somebody that doesn't know as much about the topic as you do. And that's one of your responsibilities in writing a book, is sequencing this so that it really makes sense for the reader, for the novice, for someone who is trying to learn what you're trying to teach. Now, there are some writers who don't do this at all. They just, you know, they set out and start writing and then assemble it later. Hey, look, that can work too. I've seen some authors who are successful with this strategy. It's not one that is easy for me. I like to organize first before I set out, whether that's, you know, in sort of a book project and or a sequence of blog posts. I find that I write better if I've got sort of I know where I'm headed, and I sort of think of things in larger blocks than just the small pieces. And, you know, if you think about this, you know, nonfiction, it's generally meant to be instructive. That means that you're a teacher. Think of what a teacher does at the front of class. Teacher is giving some thought to the way that the sort of course outline is laid out. It's going to be kind of a learning journey, if you will, and you want to make this easy on your reader. You want to be a very confident guide. And, you know, again, part of the value is the way that you sequence them through it. Teach them one topic to move on to the next and then the next. I mean, there's value in that. And the last thing that we should talk about today is probably the book format. I mean, we talked a little bit about word count before, and you don't want to get too wound up in this. I mean, word count can be a good guide, and a lot of writers really stick to word count quotas and things like that, and it can be really helpful. I mean, if that keeps you on track in your writing, then great, you should do it. You know, setting daily or weekly milestones, a lot of writers do that. But, you know, you don't have to be a slave to this, you know, 350-page format. I mean, the thing that's been great about self-publishing and ebooks is you don't really need to worry about word count as much anymore. I mean, make the book whatever length you need to make it. If your idea is a small idea and you can do it in 50 pages, fantastic, do that. You know, and especially if you're self-publishing, right? I mean, if you've got a publisher that you're working with and they say, hey, look, we're going to produce a book that's going to be in print and we want it to be a certain word count, it's going to be 300 pages, 6x9 format, then okay, then you got to do that. But, you know, personally for me, I can't stand books that stretch out one idea for far longer than it warrants. I mean, if you can say what you need to say, convey what you need to convey in 3,000 words, great. Writing sort of, you know, 55,000 more words just to fit the format, that's not doing anything for me as the reader. In fact, if you think about it, if you've already gotten to your point in 3,000 words, after that, you're kind of just wasting my time. And you kind of run the risk of destroying a really good reading experience. And this is one of those things that is really a great thing about self-publishing. If you're going to do an ebook only, you've got a small idea that you want to get across and you want to publish that, and it's really nicely self-contained, it's everything that you want to get across, and there it is, and it's done in 5,000 words, 10,000 words, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You know, you're not sort of beholden to the rubric or the old rubric of print only. And that can be a great thing. It can be really liberating. So I would say don't worry too much about page count, and especially if you're intending to self-publish, because then, you know, you're not in a partnership. If you're in a partnership with a publisher, you know, you got to do something that's going to work for both of the partners. And so obviously the publisher will have a huge say in that. It's just you. Do what makes sense and plan the project accordingly. There's many different ways to attack a book project, and, you know, you just got to do the one that's right for you and your business. All right, well, thank you so much for listening. Hope that you found this to be helpful in this little series about using a book on your content strategy. In the next episode, I think I'll talk about when you're in your book project, what happens when you encounter writer's block? How do you push past that? All right, thanks so much for listening. As always, I really appreciate it, and we'll see you on the next episode.